Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to it,
Strange Rally Secure Universe. Waiting for my guest tonight. Patty failed to call in. Want to give a big shout out to Scott Grinwald. Big shout out to Ursula Bielski. Big shout out to Chloe. Chase Kleski last weekend. I was getting really, like, jokey towards, like, the very end, but I guess I missed my mark, and I love everybody. I got somebody calling. We'll see who it is. Patty.
Hey, Lauren, how are you? This is Patty Favette from North Carolina.
I know whenever we talked before, Patty, that
yes.
I never asked how to sound out your last name, but thank you for, please, because I had it all wrong.
It's an unusual name. It's a French name. My husband's family were from Belgium, but 200 years ago it was Southernized, and they just say Favette, F-I-E-V-E-T.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I looked at it as velvet, like velvet, but then like I was thinking of it's like Barney Fife, you know, which is another West Virginia native.
Oh, yeah, how about that? Well, I live down the street from where Andy Griffith, the area he wrote about. So. Small world.
Hey, that's awesome. So how I want to do the interview, I have your amazing – well, actually, I have two of your amazing books. But, the title tonight was The Making of a Mystic, because
Yes. Whenever
people think of mysticism, they think of all this crazy stuff. Please, let's start from the beginning of where you came from until where we are today, into the mysticist that you became. Let's start from the beginning.
All right, I'll be glad to, Lauren. Let's see if I can do it and not get too long-winded for everybody. I was born in the deep South. Swatting mosquitoes and blowing gnats was a community pastime. And over the years, through growing up and then in my first marriage, my width and depth and breadth, that natural, beautiful connection to who we are and what we are that is with us at birth. I went through a long period of time that I forgot. Access to God became obeying rules of a religion. It was not real. It was not experiential to me. I did what I was supposed to do. Or what I thought I was supposed to do, and eventually I disconnected from who I was and from what God made me to be, and I felt like I was rote and just going through motions. One night, and I'll say this,
Patty, you know, when you was talking about, you know, and I know you're talking about of how, let's begin where you were at your lowest point. Let's begin at the lowest point because I've talked to you before, and the story you gave me was so amazing. I just want to know where you came from to where you are today. It touches my heart. Please.
Where I realized I was at my lowest point, Lauren, was one night I got up. My husband kept a gun in the bottom of his, underneath the seat of his pickup truck. And one night I went outside to make sure the gun was still there. I had planned on leaving this earth. And I looked at the dark barrel of the gun down the barrel, pointed it at my face. And I thought, well, where is my light? Where is my light? And I walked back inside with that one thought, where is my light? And I realized I had about that time God answered me. I had a stage 1 melanoma on my back and directly opposite the heart chakra. And that one stage melanoma was one of the most beautiful gifts I personally have ever had, because all I had to do was let the thing grow, and I'm out of here, man. But I realized at that point, I realized it wasn't death I wanted. It was life, and I didn't have it. I didn't have it. And I think the time that you
were... In your time of sickness, Patty, you didn't, even in the time of sickness, you did not have, you didn't feel that spiritual thing. Where were you in that point of mind? Because, everybody gets that.
At that point, I knew there was a God out there somewhere, but I didn't have any idea that it had anything to do with me. There was a total separation from me and that wonderful, loving, holy presence that is known by so many different names in this society. Higher spirit.
Your higher power. They call it the
higher power.
They call it the higher power. That higher power could be broke down to many different things. What's really tremendous is how it's really turned you around in your experience and stuff like that. So go ahead, Betty.
One night during a thunderstorm, the chrysanthemums were outside being beaten to a muddy pulp, and lightning was flashing and thunder, and I was in the basement office where I pretty much hid from the world because I was agoraphobic at the time. As the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled, I ended up getting on my knees in absolute, total surrender to this higher power. And with every cell in my body, I had a one-sentence prayer that erupted from my heart that changed my life. It was
tremendous. And the things that you're telling me right now, Betty, Patty, excuse me, I don't know why. Patty. What can you have any advice to women that maybe could be at their point of end or ready to kill themselves or ready to do any of these wrong doings or maybe lost all hope for life or extent? Lost their meaning of life. What do you have
Lauren, you're so heartfelt to address that, because there are so many women out there that have a similar story for one reason or another. And the one thing I would have to say, that there is a power that is standing behind you, and that power is part of you, and you just don't realize it. And to realize it, surrender to it, open up to it and allow it to begin to work in your life.
Exactly. You know, because I see a lot of times that people are able to move from that step exactly where you had to go, Patty, from the bottom to the top. I mean, I can actually commend you, and I can differentiate with you, because I've been mm-hmm. the same. I've been there. I've been at that point in your life where you don't know where to turn to. You don't know who to trust or who to go to. And, you know, I've lived a lonely life, but
mm-hmm.
I've realized who my friends are and what's important. But
you do,
Patty, but
what?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Did you surrender to this, Lauren? You found something bigger than you and greater than you?
Well, the thing about it was, and the biggest issue that I can address with you, Patty, to talk mm-hmm. to you as just one-on-one, is finding my knack in life.
Ah,
I thought I was a
yeah.
musician for so many years, and
mm-hmm.
But I always did side research. I done research into paranormal, into UFOs, into everything. And I went to some conferences, and there were some people that touched my heart. Chase Klotsky, Sam Maranto, these big people that, you know,
yes.
they showed me that I had a purpose in this world.
Yes, yes.
That I
yes.
had, that you know, that I don't see them as my idols, but I can see them as my equal.
Yes, and they were way showers when you needed somebody to show the way. And if you weren't seeking at that point, if you had not opened up to something new in your life, then you never would have gotten it, would you? A victim
That's
mentality.
That's right. I would have never
yeah.
met him, Patty. I would have never.
Yeah.
And where I am today, it befounds me because of the people that I'm really close to and the people I talk to. I was only able to admire them from books. And I was only
uh-huh.
able to admire them from afar. But I
uh-huh.
made my dream come true, you know. And yeah, that's the thing about what we're talking about tonight, is making things happen in your life. People
yes.
think that they are singled out. People think they're already down whenever they never focus on their goals. You know, and Patty, it's just so awesome just to know that both of us has climbed these mountains in my life. I don't want to make it about me, because I want to make it about you, sweetheart, because I have read both your books and looked at them.
Oh, good for you. Thank you. I'm honored.
hey, courtesy of Warwick Associates, of course. Hey.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
You know, but I am captivated of where we both are in our lives, and be able to talk right now of where we both are in our lives and just be able to go with it. It's
when
just amazing.
Well, Lauren, when you let's tie the two stories together with some truths that may help our listeners. When you realize who you are from the inside out, that you are part of something greater, then your purpose just automatically just flows, and you begin to live your purpose, whatever it is, whatever you were created to do. It may come in many
different forms.
But you have to get that inner connection, because the purpose will not give you the connection. It's the connection allows you to express the purpose.
Oh, God. You nailed it on the head, Patty. Oh, my God.
You know what I call that, Lauren? I have a name for that. I call it your sacred story. I call it your sacred story. That is your sacred story. Discovering who you are from a spiritual perspective and then living your life from that perspective. And I'm not talking about going to church every day. I'm not talking about following a particular religious creed or something. Yes, that does help, but I heard it explained the other day. Religion helps you get to the moon, but who you are is the moon.
That's right. Hey, and it's our own spaceship, too, to get us there. Don't you agree?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I believe that, and see what you think about this. I have come to believe that each person on this earth was born with God-given gifts, higher spirit gifts, gifts of some sort. And we were not born without, but the world seems to tell us that we were born
without. Hey, I hate to interrupt, but I don't want to say that I can sound as bad, but listen, they want to think that we are not, they want to put that figment in our imagination that we are just pawns. They don't want us to be innovators. They don't want us to be anything stronger. They program us on a low level.
Yes.
Can't you agree with that, Patty?
I do believe that happens many times during the day. For instance, from the woman's standpoint, you see the
mm-hmm.
advertisements on television. You have somebody young
mm-hmm.
in their 35 advertising wrinkle cream, for heaven's sakes. You know,
yes.
When I was 35, I didn't have wrinkles, you know, but now that I'm older, yeah, bless every one of them. And there were just roadmaps along my way, you know. But the media tells us that, people in our lives.
Well, see, that's the thing about it, Patty, is they we are programmed to what is beautiful, and we think that these skinny rail models are the figment of beauty, and you gotta get injections in your lips, and you gotta get injections in your breasts, you gotta get injections in your butt, you gotta get injections everywhere to think that you are control of everything and you are comfortable within yourself. But what is that comfortability level, Patty?
The comfort is an inside, it's love. The comfort is love, and it's love inside you, inside each of us. And I'm not talking about egotistical love, that I love myself more than I do anything else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that each person is a creation of love. And once you realize that you are good enough, just like you were made, and that you are love personified, you don't need to worry about how you look. But
damn
it's something
right.
you feel. It's not something you just know. It can't stop with the brain. It has to continue in through the heart.
Well, see, that is exactly what I'm talking about, Patty, because if a person, you know, I've been able to conquer my dreams and ambitions because I've had
mm-hmm.
that want to in my heart. You know, a lot of people feel that they are defeated before they even start.
Yes, and this is an untruth that they have bought into. The feeling of defeated is an untruth. Yes, we fail. We're not all perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We're not put
That's
on this
right.
planet because we're perfect. We're put
That's
on
right.
this planet to experience, to love, to grow, to help each other, to understand, to grow in wisdom. To figure out who we are and allow who we are to express that love and that wisdom. That's why we're here.
Yay.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
words
it's profound, isn't
are
it?
Like a summer roast just cutting into, just so velvety and sweet and beautiful and powerful. Thank you, Patty.
Be careful, I'll levitate you.
I'm levitating right now. Hey, I'm levitating. Please bring me back down. Please bring me back down. No. but really, it's just, extremely powerful.
In my first book, the one you read, When Life Cried Out, I give examples of me. It's a story when I discovered that truth. It's that 7-year period of my life that it took when I discovered that truth. And as you read, you know, I got information in the pyramids. There was in Malta. I dealt with them.
I was talking to you off the cuff about a bunch of crazy stuff, like Egyptians and stuff like that. You know, what's really important of what we were talking about, and I want to delve in back into Egyptians before you, but where people are in their mentality of thinking. How can we break the cycle? Because obviously I am, and you are, Patty, in a lot of ways. It just captivates me that I want to try to help people and stuff like that. But I just want to... But let's go back to the Egyptians. What was you saying about that?
I went to Egypt twice. The first time I went to the temple area of the Nile. I took a trip to the Nile, and at the time I was in Europe, and it was a spur of the moment decision. I ended up leaving from Amsterdam to have a Middle Nile cruise and to go in some of the different temples. And wasn't sure I really wanted to go, and I had a traveling companion because I wasn't sure it was safe for a female to go by herself, and I'm still not sure that's safe. Yeah, but anyway, that was a really profound trip as far as eye-opening for me with different cultures. I had it was just more profound than I have words to tell. But what I got out of it was the fears that had paralyzed me all of my life. They left. They just were not there. I was in the temple of Isis, and I happened to just round a corner. I was having one panic attack after the other and was just scared to death. And that was just me being fearful. And so, Lauren, what I did was go to... around at a corner in that temple of Isis, and I saw, I can't remember the name of it. It's in the book, but it's an Egyptian staff of some sort that you saw on the hieroglyphics on the walls, you know. And I saw that, and a verse from the Bible that came from the 23rd Psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I thought to myself, I am not living that.
That's right.
Yeah. There's something... The universe, the higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, it stands for
something called you. Something called you and told you, hey, you know, you would have killed, when your story before, talking about suicide and all that, you would have fucking, excuse my language, you would have already ended your life. And you would have already went on. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
excuse
I would have
my
been
language
out of here.
Before, you know, but really, you know, it's really powerful because there are somebody will commit suicide tonight, Patty. Somebody will kill themselves thinking that they have nowhere to turn to, you know, and this is a great outing for us, people like me and you. To be able.
The one thing, Lauren, I would say to anybody that is so low is that the lowness is a temporary condition. You don't know it, but it is. It does not last.
It is temporary.
You have to be strong enough to allow it to pass. Be alert enough. Be alert enough and awake enough to see when those teeny tiny little God blinks, or God moments, those teeny tiny little moments come into your life to give you one sign or another sign.
That's right.
Or maybe there'll be profound things. The somebody calls just at the right moment. You go to Facebook and somebody has posted something that really means something to you, especially for you. You know, you have
but
one of those tiny little moments.
You know what happens, Patty? You know what happens, Patty? Well, people have their moments and they neglect them. And that's what's the problem with today. They get that.
Yes.
They have that natural intuition in their head. They have that spirit about them to say that they have to do something. And then it's their own neglect. Only from, I believe, other higher powers above us. I mean, people seem to just dissociate from what's really real, you know. And whenever they feel that one, like you, for instance, you had to get to the bottom of you had to be on the bottom of the line about at suicide, about at ready in this life for something to come in your life. And the thing about this is whenever that big question, or would it be a question, or would it be an event in your life, how many people answer that and how many people don't? And that's what's very upset. I turn that into a spectacle, but that's what I mean. I mean, whenever people have that voice in their intuition in their head that, hey, I got to change my life around. This is where I got to start. This is where I got to do stuff. And they just ignore it.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's really a shame, because that's what our intuition is all about. Intuition to me, and this is just my take on it, and I have had both types of experiences. Intuition is not here so I can tell somebody else how to read their life. That's not what it's for. Intuition at the highest level is so I will be able to know how to read my life. And you have to read your life. And that, to me, that's the greatest purpose in it. In the Christian community, they talk about that still, small voice. Well, if you are not inside the still, small voice of God, they talk about that in the Christian community. If you are not aware of that, if you do not use your intuition when that still, small voice whispers that this is right for you or that is not right for you, or gives you a dream or a vision, then you're missing the boat, and it's nobody's fault but yours.
That's right. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that, because think about it, Patty. I wouldn't be where I am today, and I wouldn't be speaking to you right now if we wasn't established of where we are, where we want to be today. What do you think about that?
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Once you start opening up to the innate ability you have to access this higher power, in how whatever way it comes to you, because we're all different on this earth. We share from each other. We learn from each other. And the open-hearted sharing is the best, but we're still unique individuals. Stop judging each other. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else, thinking that they have a bigger way, a better way, or whatever. Your little way, your small way, can be just as profound.
That's right.
Don't you think?
We could, you know, that's the thing about it. We can grow. Where do you think we can grow from this, though? This this higher enlightenment where we're talking to our intuition voice. What goes higher than that?
I'm not sure I understood the question, Lauren. Can you word it a different way?
Kind of like, you know, because I'm sure I've had a lot of people die in my life, and I've lost a lot of people, and I'm sure you've lost a lot of people, too.
Yeah. I don't see death as a finality. I don't.
I see it
as a transition. I see it just simply as a transition. You move from the body into spirit in another place.
My uncle recently died. He was a drug addict all of his life, and it's really heartbreaking he was getting, from somebody that he was like an alienated from family and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But before he died recently, everybody loved him being around. Like he was everybody loved him, and when he died, it really hurt everybody because he was such an asshole. He was such an asshole whenever he was alive, but before he died, he was so good to everybody. Do you think that it's a reason that it's in my life, I'm tired of living like this, or do you believe that, what do you think, Patty? I'm sorry, I'm just going all over the place.
Oh, no, that's all right. Perhaps toward the end of his life when he was so kind to everybody and started having a change of heart, perhaps he finally got it. He was catching on. The when of it doesn't matter. It took him a lifetime, but he was getting there.
That was what was so important. I was talking to my grandpa tonight, and I said we had everybody dealt with things that we dealt with in this life, but at the end, you guys were best friends, and everybody was getting along, and he was really generous, like really generous. Buying people computers and like these extravagant gifts. Let's just say extravagant gifts. But he left this world in great graces with his father and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm making it about my selfish family, but really,
toward the end of his life, he probably, and I'm guessing, this is just my take on it, which may or may not be true, but toward the end of his life, he probably realized more of his life as a sacred story instead of a false story that he had been living through drugs.
That's what it's about.
The sooner we can learn that, the better off the entire world is going to be.
I agree with you.
The better off the entire world is going to be. You mentioned Egypt a while ago. While I was in the temples of the Nile, and I write about this in that first book, When Life Cried Out. While I was in the boat was docked for 24 hours, and so there was nothing to do but to sort of walk around the little community where we were.
You would be limited to where you had grounds to walk or even anything.
Yeah,
I wasn't going further than
a block and a half, let me tell you. But anyway, so I went, and there was a little market set up outside of a temple that had closed, and my experience was the Egyptian trinket salesmen were extremely aggressive with trying to get you to buy their things. I wasn't used to that,
yeah.
But I did go in. I did go into one little shop, and I bought a tablecloth, which the negotiation took about an hour and a half, and I wasn't used to that either, but I hung in there, and we finally came up with a price, and I got my little bundle, my tablecloth, and it was all one of them. The gentleman, interesting enough, there were two or three gentlemen in that store, and everybody had on traditional Egyptian dresses, which looked like a long nightshirt to me. And this one gentleman had on Western clothes, and so he was the one that talked to me. And anyway, at the end, I was leaving finally, and the gentleman in the Western clothes, I do not know his name, came up to me, and before I realized it, there was a semicircle of men standing around me from different booths. And he said, "Before you leave, we would like to ask you a question as an American." Oh, my, Lauren. I thought, well, I may not have the answer, but I will allow you to ask the question. And he said, "As an American, what do you think of war and aggression?" Oh, my. Here I am in a foreign country, right by myself, surrounded by Egyptian men who want to know as an American what I think of war and aggression. What am I going to do? So I closed my eyes ever so briefly and said, "Lord, put the words through my mouth." I had been doing that with my writing in The Making of a Mystic. I explain how I do that through my writing.
So you're pretty much just blanking your mind, closing your eyes, and letting that higher power come, that voice, that secret voice that we all try to talk against. That's the voice.
Right. Well, I didn't talk to it. I listened. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hearing this little whisper of a thought, and I'm repeating it. And I said, "When I speak and you listen to with your heart, and you speak and I listen to my heart, then we have understanding. When we have understanding between, we have respect for different cultures. When we have respect
That's right.
for different cultures, then we have peace."
That's
and
right.
And that's what I said.
That is right.
And I think it was the right thing to say, because they nodded, and one told me I was worth 500 camels, and I thanked him for that.
You're worth 500 camels. I'm going to say, I'm going to say you're worth like 5,000 camels.
What would I do with that?
Hey, what are we going to do? Hey, we could harvest a lot of sand.
We've crossed a lot of deserts, wouldn't we?
But, you know, it's awesome. Yeah, I love Warwick Associates, and I love the way they bring me the people like you, Patty, that does what you do. And
well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Lauren. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And let me say again, just repeat both books. One is When Life Cried Out, and the other is Making of a Mystic by Patty Favette.
Now, we can find them on Amazon.
They're on Amazon, and you can go to your small bookstore, and they can order them for you.
Now, do you have any appearances you will be making this year?
Not as of yet. I have two that will be local, but I haven't scheduled dates for those yet. But they
will
be on my website. They will be on my website.
If I ever put something together, you will be on my list.
Well, I do appreciate that. I love speaking in front of people. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. And I appreciate the talk that we had tonight. We covered so much aspects.
I
love everything about Patty, and we can always go forward. And that's the only way we're going in this life, is forward. And I'm giving you a hug right now.
Through this internet,
I'm giving you a big giant hug right now.
I appreciate that. It's well received. Thank you, Lauren, for the opportunity.
And hey, thank you for coming on Strange Shrine Secret Universe. And thanks for everything you're doing, Patty.
And I appreciate what you're doing, too. I'm sure you're helping a lot of people by getting many voices and many, many different stories out.
Thank you, sweetheart. And I wish the night be grace to you.
Oh, thank you. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. Well, that's next week, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'll be on Strange Shrining, Secret Universe.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set, the time and yet you wasted still. Like grains of sand, you watch it go.